Oh dear God!
What the? Is that what
are
we're doing?
Musical instruments in?
We all just have to have one sound effect.
Give me
turkey that is ding.
Uh oh.
Hold on.
Oh.
Somebody mute him. Mute him. This is gonna be bad. I bet it's gonna be. What do you think it's gonna be? A whistle?
A flute.
A kazoo?
A recorder. Guitar? Slide whistle.
Slide whistle. I'm going for slide whistle.
That would be amazing. Welcome to episode 26 of One More Podcastle, the best podcast in your ears right now. My name is Eric Bailey. I have licked many envelopes in my lifetime, and I am the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am this week's sponsor for the One More Podcastle.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, writer, philosopher, poet. And you're listening to One More Podcastle.
All right, Jason, lay down some poetry. Come on.
Let's hear it. Improvise right now.
There once was a man from Guam who didn't quite like his mom. So he got in a car and went really far and never rode home from afar.
Wow.
I loved your A-A-B-B-B rhyme scheme and that the fact that you faked us out of what sounded like it was going to be a limerick. And
then yeah, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
I was waiting for a bomb to be in that last line, but there wasn't. That was a pleasant surprise.
Wow.
Thank you.
That was really good, Jason.
Yeah. You are the M. Night Shyamalan of improv poets.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
It's like he's all culturalized now he came from England.
From England.
Let's go with pre-2002 M. Night Shyamalan. How about that? Right. Unbreakable Sixth Sense. There you go. Yeah, what I meant.
That's it? That's all you're going to give him? I mean, Signs wasn't that bad.
That's
that
true. Good. I enjoyed Signs.
Even Lady in the Water was entertaining.
I stopped after Signs. Aliens invaded Earth, which is 70% water, and they're allergic to water.
Well, that's why they made the crop circles away from water. Did you watch the movie, Jason? Come on. That's so silly of you.
I mean, maybe they didn't have water on their planet. They may not have known they were allergic to water, you know?
No, they did.
Well, then that's pretty dumb, yeah. I don't know.
Well, you have to think, the theory of human life or life at all has to be based around some sort of water-type molecule.
Well, then maybe they were only familiar with silicon-based life forms instead of carbon like us. Maybe they thought humans were allergic too. They just didn't realize that we really like water. We have it running into our homes.
Yeah, we're like 98% water.
Pretty much. If we drink too much, we just turn into a puddle and disintegrate.
Aliens are stupid.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Well, aliens. Welcome back, Jason. We're happy to have you.
I missed you guys. I have some notes for you.
Oh.
Whoa.
About notes.
Podcast notes, because I listened to last week's episode.
Ooh.
Oh.
I wouldn't have done that if I were you.
Well, I wasn't.
They're good things, except for one.
No.
Oh, no.
Because if you say good things, it opens the door for bad things. Let's just move on.
Well, I'm curious. I mean, I wasn't there last week. We had a special guest fill in, so I'm curious. That's what he has to say.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, what harm can these notes be? I don't care.
No, you said you weren't there last week.
Right, we had a special guest.
He's good with the English.
He is.
He is good with the English.
He's good.
Not as good as Jason.
Oh. Count it.
Because Jason actually spent time with the English.
Ha!
Anyway, I'm sorry.
So English.
All right, let's hear your notes.
Congrats, Hunter, on buying a Steam game.
I don't know what any of that means.
Oh, come on.
You bought Steam games. You spent $30.
No. That's not true at all.
I know you're embarrassed, but congratulations. I was pleasantly surprised about the Android app we have now.
Yeah.
Yeah, how cool is that?
That's awesome.
I do have a couple of suggestions, but I'm going to have a conference with Andrew later.
Okay.
cool.
Don't want to get into it here in the now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. And my last note is, you're both assholes because you made fun of me repeatedly.
Well, you weren't.
Did
there,
you not see my tweet? Indian burns, man. Bailey was giving out Indian burns.
Okay,
Bailey still got my vote though.
Yes. Just goes to show you, nice guys never win. In fact, they tend to finish last.
Oh. I don't know what any of that means.
Modified version of a prior quote, maybe. I don't know.
I'm confused.
Well, thanks for your notes, Jason.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's all I got.
You didn't...
Red Alarm looked cool. I kind of want to play it.
Oh, no.
Right?
It looks like terrible.
Star Fox.
That's what it looks
3D.
Like. Oh, stop it! Stop it! Just quit it! Get out of my head! Stop
it's
it!
It's like a... three-dimensional Star Fox.
Oh, yeah, 3D Star Fox.
They should make a
sequel for the 3DS.
That would be amazing.
Wow, I mean, it's called Star Fox.
How much better of a way is there to celebrate Star Fox turning 20 years old than to play Red Alarm, which is basically Star Fox in 3D.
All right, let's move on. I am not getting into this.
Well, right. What old video games have you guys been playing?
You don't want to hear it. You don't want to know.
I played a bunch.
No.
Oh, okay, wait a second. Hunter, why wouldn't I want to hear about it?
Let's let Jason go first. He's from English.
Okay.
He is from English.
I'm from darn English. Whatever. I can't talk, remember?
Go, Jason, go!
All right,
I played some Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh my. Wow.
Have
really
you never played it before?
I've played it before.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've played it a lot, but I was playing it again. Problem is, I was playing it on the airplane, on my tablet. Let me tell you, touchscreen controls with the platformer.
Oh, no thanks.
Leads to an early death.
Yeah, even keyboard with a platform I have trouble with. I need a controller in my hands.
I agree.
I set out Earthbound.
Like Earthbound NES or Earthbound Super NES?
I think Super NES.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't play Mother. He played Earthbound.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Except I was playing that on my tablet again, and I realized the program I was using doesn't allow saves unless you purchase it.
Oh, wow.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's
so that was short-lived.
That's a bad game to play that way.
What are you playing it on? What
Some
kind of
emulator.
Tablet?
Nexus 7.
Oh, okay. That's a nice tablet.
It is. I just haven't shelled out for the full version of the emulator.
And why should you?
Exactly.
Why should you?
And then I played some Roller Coaster Tycoon, which I rebought from Good Old Games this week.
Yeah, I saw that. Why did you have to rebuy it?
I don't know where my CD got lost years ago.
Oh, okay. So you hadn't purchased it previously. You had, like, from GOG or Steam or whatever you got it from. You had the physical copy.
I had a physical copy in the past, which won't run on modern systems. I've since lost that physical copy, and I've bought one that from GOG that will run on a modern system.
So how's that, Jason? Having something physical in your hand?
Yeah. I mean, Jason, getting rid of a physical media in order to have it all digital sounds pretty familiar to me.
I agree.
I hate stuff.
Just stuff in general. Everything
stuff.
About it.
Just there's our episode title. I
hate
stuff.
Stuff.
Just stuff. I hate it.
Ugh.
Yucky stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, this looks
Hunter?
Interesting. Huh? What?
Yeah.
Huh?
What'd you play, Hunter?
Yeah.
I've been playing the Treasure of Rudair. It's a great game.
Really? You have to write your own spell? Okay,
It
fine.
Really is.
Rudra like, no Hiho? I butchered that Japanese.
Yeah, I don't know.
I butchered it the whole episode, don't worry. Although I will say, now that we don't have to make fun of it, I'm intrigued by it.
It's a beautiful game. Visually,
okay, cool.
A very beautiful game. The soundtrack is very stimulating, and it fits the atmosphere of what you're playing. I'm not really a big fan of RPGs to begin with. Like, it takes a very specific RPG to really get me into the game. And this game has a lot of things that I really enjoy about it. Like, okay, one of my biggest pet peeves about RPGs is, let's say you go to a shop and you're like, you know, I've got some extra gold, or make up an imaginary word for money, because that's usually what they do.
Yeah. Yep. Gil or something.
Exactly. And you're like, okay, I'm going to buy some weapons. I'm going to buy some new armor. The problem is you don't know if the weapons you are buying are better than what you have.
Mm-hmm.
This game actually lets you know. It tells you,
hey, that's nice.
This is the character it's going to suit it for. You either already have it equipped, or it's going to bring down your attack rate, or it's going to increase your attack rate. It doesn't tell you how much, but mm-hmm. it does tell you, in fact, if it will increase or decrease your character, which to me makes sense. I don't want to have to go through the trial and error. The other thing that I was, I don't want to say impressed, but I was just like, oh, well, that's really nice. That's a nice feature. Is Ryan kind of touched on it last week, but you literally have three storylines that you can play through. So let's say, you know, you're playing as character A, you meet up with character B, they go off and do something else, and then you continue on through your journey, you're running through a maze or whatever it is. You can play as character B, and a lot of the time you start up that character wherever you left off with character A. So let's say you're character A, you run into character B, and they say, hey, I'm going this way. You say, okay, I'm going this way. You go that way. You play as character B. Okay, I'm going south. You're going north. Okay, then you play as character B, and you follow their storyline. And there's a lot of times where the storylines cross over. So you hear stories of, let's say, you know, King Jason of England has conquered the city of Wales. I don't think that's a city. I think that's a country. Anyway.
We got it. Keep going.
And you're like, oh, that sounds great. Good for him. I'm happy for him. We're friends. We get along. It's cool. You can play as King Jason and conquer Wales. Like, that's
weird.
Really, that's a great idea. Like, I know it's something simple.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I don't know how many times I've played video games and there's that reoccurring character that just shows up out of the blue. And, you know, like one time they show up and they're completely battered and, you know, riddled full of holes. And you're like, what happened here? And like, ah, you know, don't worry about it. Let me just tell you what you need to do next. Like, I want to play as that guy. You get to do that in this game. Like, it's impressive. Very impressive.
Isn't it amazing how a little thoughtfulness on the part of the developers goes such a long way towards the player experience?
Yes. And actually,
like you're talking about the weapon shop, like that's so true. Like, it's such a little thing, but it makes a big difference in enjoying the game.
Well, yeah, with me especially, because, I mean, I nitpick at the little things. Like, I was playing an indie game recently called The Mark of the Ninja. If you ever played it or heard of it. Anyway. Yeah. No, just give me my game. So anyway,
are you buying more games on Steam right now?
No, I am not.
All right.
Just waiting for it to download. Okay. So Mark of the Ninja is a 2D side-scrolling stealth game. You play as a ninja. Your ninja base has been blown up by, you know, whoever. It's, you're taking vengeance on this guy. You're running through city buildings. Anyway, so there's nothing amazingly new about the game. You know what I mean? But every bit of the game has been so polished, and there is such a sense of detail taken with every aspect of the game. Like, so the whole game obviously is about stealth. You don't want to be detected. So I'm not that kind of guy. I like to run in, blow things up, and then pray that the building doesn't fall on me. So I walked into this room. This guard saw me. He started shooting. I exited through like a small grate in the wall from where I came from. I'm like, oh, I'll just sit here. He'll never know that I'm here. He walks over, opens the grate, and says, I found him, and starts shooting at me. That's, yeah, of well, course. But I mean, in hindsight, that small attention to detail, like any other game, you're like, oh, if I go in this small little space, they'll never find me. I've played games like that. this game says no, he will find you and shoot. Like, there was animation for the character and everything, and he literally said, hey, I found him, he's over here. And I was like, you...
That's pretty sweet.
But yeah, it's little things like that that, at least for me, I guess being from like a... I'm just going to be biased right now and just say from an old retro gaming, you know, console enthusiast kind of a... I look for things like that.
Good.
And...
Yeah,
Mark of the Ninja was a game that I probably never would have played if I saw it out, like, on the shelf somewhere. But I'm extremely excited that I got to play it and enjoyed it fully.
Hmm. I have to ask, what's your Steam name?
You don't want to know, man.
No, I do.
Nope. Did you know that Steam was owned by Valve?
Yeah.
Valve? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know.
That's...
Well, okay, that's kinda... All right, now, hold on. Let's take it from my point of view. Valve, which is just a game developer...
Yeah.
Builds an amazing website or company, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Steam.
Content delivery module.
Yeah.
Why aren't they just making games?
Worked at Microsoft in the mid to late 80s.
Okay.
So we built that whole Windows thing.
Oh.
Okay. Really good at that stuff. Is it? I don't know. I've been on Steam for 8 years now.
Ouch. Ouch.
I've been on for less than one.
I've been on for way less than one.
Way less than one.
Is this going to download or what? Come on.
What the heck's your Steam name?
Don't worry about it.
So I'll find you. Playing
no, Bailey, nobody cares.
Yeah, screw you, Bailey.
Jason was in England.
That's true.
England.
And he failed to take over.
They drive on the other side of the road.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
I would kill someone over there. I guess literally I wouldn't.
So what have you been playing, Bailey?
Yeah, we've been playing.
Oh, not a whole lot. I mean, you can check NintendoLegend.com.
All right.
Hey, you know what? It's true. Shut your mouth. Been playing some like arcade conversions, which fascinate me always, a transition from a cabinet to a console. A couple examples that are actually decent examples, Joust and Heavy Barrel. I would recommend both. Like, they're decent games. Heavy Barrel is one of those, it's kind of like Guerrilla War or Iron Tank or Ikari Warriors or Ikari Warriors, however you want to pronounce it. Those overhead shooters where you're just going through blasting stuff, but it's not as bad as the Ikari games. It's actually fun. And then Joust is just a classic. That's just a fun game to dive into and see how well you can do. And the flapping mechanism, I hear some people dislike it, but I think it's great.
What do you expect? You're on the back of like a giant ostrich.
Right. You're not going to be jet propelled, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be a weird game.
That's just silly.
Yeah. Joust is probably in the top 5 games that I wish I was better at in terms of being a competitive high score chaser. I have not yet mastered it. I'm still terrible at it, but I go back to it every once in a while.
I've never been that guy that needs the high score. I don't know why. Like, I'll watch videos of people hitting high scores and breaking records, and I'm like, man, that is awesome. And you want to talk about dedication, but me personally, it's like, never had it in me.
I used to be like that until a few years ago. I did some research and found out that there were some games I played all the time growing up and got pretty good at that either didn't have scores tracked for them, or I was very confident I could beat the scores. So there are some NES games I actually hold the world record for, although it's tough to find the records online because Twin Galaxies is in the midst of some massive reorganization. But it's weird. Like, you look up the records, like, really? That's the high score right now? I can beat that. And then I did. It was fun.
Nice.
Yeah, I did that for Rad Racer 2 for the NES.
Nice.
I sent the VHS tape to Twin Galaxies, and I got a letter back saying that it was disqualified.
Why? What'd you do?
I didn't hit the record button.
You didn't record the required 10 seconds of static beforehand?
I didn't. All it said was the video was not recorded properly.
Ouch.
And I was like,
you should have just added that net post-editing.
Oh, Jason, you big what? Cheater.
No.
You big cheater.
You big cheater.
But I was unemployed for a short time, and I had watched Fistful of Quarters, and I was like, I could do that. And I went on TwinDeckGalaxies.com, and Red Racer 2 didn't have a record posted, so yep. I was like, well, I can do that. And then I posted, and I sent the VHS tape to Twin Galaxies, and like 3 months later, I got a letter saying it was wrong.
That sucks, man. So, I feel bad for you.
Screw Twin Galaxies.
Hey, that's perfectly fine nowadays. And in my book, you're the world's best Rad Racer 2 player, Hunter.
I am really good at that game. Cool. Just gonna throw that out there.
Sega! Hey, speaking of stuff, we have a listener email discussion question, guys.
What?
Yeah, still? I know. Yeah.
It's weird.
And this one is actually from Daniel, the same Daniel who submitted One More Castle's first guest article.
Ooh.
That excellent piece on violence and kineticism, or kineticism. If you haven't read it, because it's a really good deconstruction of some complex concepts. I thoroughly recommend. In fact, I would love to have something else from him in the future, which I think we can make happen. But he has this to say. Everyone knows that music can play a large part in a gaming experience and can enhance or take away from the feeling of the game. Though, past that, how do you feel about video game soundtracks? Do you think they are only good in the context of their game, or do you like them all the time, to the point loading your favorite video game tracks onto your nondescript MP3 player of choice and jamming out to it on the way to work? We've had a similar question before.
I was going
to
say, didn't we not already have this question?
The other question was about, do you match up video game tunes to your daily activities? Yeah. Whereas this one is, do you like video game music enough to listen to it outside of games?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
What? Come on, man. Really?
I'm going there.
You're telling me, like, when you don't hear the Duke Nukem theme play, when you're at the supermarket, you don't start tapping your toe? Come on.
At the supermarket. Just comes on over the...
I don't know what they do the PA in Canada. System. Come on.
That's right. That's our national anthem, that Duke Nukem one.
That's an amazing national anthem to hear.
That plays, we all chant, Hail to the King, baby. And then, you know, continue on with their day.
And gum is always on sale.
Yeah.
You can never run out.
That's right. Yes, I've got quite a few tracks saved on my computer and my MP3 player that are straight 8, 16-bit. I enjoy them. It's one of those things that when you connect the song to the game, and then you remember going back and playing the game like the first time, mm-hmm. and you get to experience those feelings all over again. Like, it happens to me all the time when I hear people talking about a particular game. Like, I had some friends of mine, they were talking about Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jason, I have friends. Whether you believe it or not, I have friends. They were talking about Ocarina of Time. I haven't played Ocarina of Time it's been a long time since I played Ocarina of Time. And they're like, yeah, I was playing Ocarina of Time, and I just became Adult Link, and I just got the horse. I'm thinking, I need to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now.
Did you know that if you call Nintendo support and go on hold, the hold music is the overworld theme from Hyrule from that game?
Like now?
Yeah, if you call them right now and select an option where there's no one available right away, yeah, like act like you need maintenance on your Wii controller and go through that tree of decision making, and it's the best hold music in existence. It's awesome. I was the happiest 5 minutes I ever spent on hold.
Why did you call Nintendo's 1-800 number?
I was having some weirdness with my Wii controller, one of mine. It would just suddenly not sync with the console. Like, I'd be playing, and then like instantly, it just wouldn't recognize the input.
Just sounds like
it would
it's
come
broken.
Back. Well, yeah, but it shouldn't be. And I didn't think, like, I didn't actually think they could fix it. I just, honestly, I wanted a free controller, like, send me a replacement, but.
Yeah.
They didn't.
I was unable to convince them to send me a replacement.
You know, they've lost a lot of money, right?
I understand.
Okay.
But it was frustrating.
Did you tell them that you were the Nintendo legend?
I didn't, but I think Nintendo's aware of me. I've gotten a couple emails. It's been pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have did that. I would have name dropped like a mofo.
don't you know who I am?
I'm Eric Bailey.
I'm an influential blogger. If you screw up this call, I will blaspheme your name and you will lose thousands of fans.
On an audio podcast that nobody listens to.
So I enjoy video game tracks. Although, if I were completely honest, it's usually not the actual soundtrack. I like remixes of the tunes or chip tunes that just sound like old video game music. But occasionally I will go to NESguide.com and listen to their 8-bit radio, which actually plays like the tracks from NES games. So that's cool. And the last soundtrack I actually got was with Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which came with the Hyrule Orchestra soundtrack. That was awesome.
My last soundtrack was Killer 7.
Oh,
that was the last one. It's interesting. It's hard to listen to it like outside of playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're listening to it and you're like, I mean, what was this? What was this in the game? And it just, none of it makes any sense.
The next one I would like to get might be Hotline Miami. I'm going to have to get that
one. Yeah, that has good music.
Never played
it. That is. The music alone is very immersive. Like, it's, yeah.
That's a soundtrack I'd listen to.
That is good stuff.
Should I check it out?
You should. It's on Steam.
The game? Yes. That was my favorite game of 2012. Not even like favorite indie game, just favorite game I played in 2012.
It's $10, man.
I got it on sale for $5, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, it goes on sale all the time.
I will wait.
Yeah. What's your username? Cool.
Don't worry about it, Jason.
That sounds awfully long for a Steam username.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about it, Jason Lamb. That is my username. All of the I's are apostrophes.
All the I's are apostrophes.
And all of the J's are question marks.
Hey guys, let's take a music break.
I enjoy music breaks.
Boom! After all this time, Nothing's Changed by, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Kasval. Or Kasval? Kasval. Thank you, Hunter. Now I really hope I got it right. But if you liked that track, you can download it on the podcast page. Speaking of stuff you can participate in on the podcast page, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where each of us has secretly selected an old school game. We're going to have 1 minute to introduce it. I'm grateful that Jason's back to moderate the 1 minute time limit. And then we're going to argue about which one's the best. But the fun part is, you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite in a poll on the podcast page. So hopefully, one of our arguments will sway your vote. 2 weeks ago, for episode 24, guess who won?
I did.
Yes, Hunter. Yeah. The Juggernaut is on a roll. So, yeah.
For now. I'm on a roll for now.
Well, yeah, it's until next week. But Space Channel 5 beat Sky Shark and Ken's Labyrinth. It was a pretty close vote, but
no,
you
it wasn't.
Won it pretty. Well, you did clearly win, I'll say that much.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, don't lie to yourself, Bailey.
Well, you didn't like double our votes or anything. But
no, but I clearly won.
You did clearly win.
Well, yes, then that's all that matters. The Juggernaut!
Yeah.
The Juggernaut.
Yeah.
This is getting out of hand. This is getting out of hand.
What? Well, then stop doing it.
I didn't.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the show.
That's all I got.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm ready for the showdown. I don't know about you guys.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I've got a minute on the clock.
Am I going first?
You are.
Okay.
All right. You may begin.
All right. This week for the Retro Showdown, I actually went to the Sega Genesis, specifically 1994, for Wacky Worlds. This game came with the Mega Mouse. You could play with the controller, too, but this is a game where you go to one of six worlds and place stickers in the environment, and they have animations. So you get to create your own worlds, and you have these magic fingers that can make the stickers do funny things or even interact with each other. For instance, if you go to the undersea world and put down a fish and a shark, you can make the shark eat the fish. It's pretty funny. But you can use any world stickers with each other. So you can be in outer space, but use like the medieval castle stickers with it. And the other great thing is you can customize the music, too. It's way too complex to explain in 1 minute, but there's four different instruments, and you can change which ones are used or not used, and it's pretty amazing for its time. But to unleash your creativity, nothing's better than Wacky Worlds.
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
I am ready.
You may begin.
My pick for this week is F1 Race. For the Game Boy, released in North America in 1991. This is one of the first games that I picked up for the Game Boy. You get to pick between two different Formula One race cars, much like Rad Racer, and race through 10 different tracks spanning across the world. There are three different difficulty levels, time trials, and even a feature that allows you to continue your previous game. One of the great things that came from F1 Race was the official Nintendo 4-player adapter, allowing you to play up to you and three of your friends race their way to the victory across the world, provided that everyone had a copy of the F1 Race. And let's be honest, who didn't? F1 Race is a great racing game for your on-the-road racing game needs.
I guess I'll begin. My choice for this week's game is World Court Tennis, a game for the TurboGrafx-16 console, which was released in 1989. While it is a standard tennis game, it also manages to feature a extensive RPG campaign, where you seek to take down the evil tennis king who has stolen all the tennis courts from the great land of tennis players. I heard that laugh. Battling your way through many a tennis challenge. You can upgrade your equipment until you finally satisfy your king's quest to take back all the tennis courts. It's World Court Tennis for the TurboGrafx-16.
All right.
Wow. I cannot imagine being such a tennis nerd that I would ever want to play that game.
I mean, how advanced can you get for a tennis game?
Right?
I mean, really. Really.
Okay. Think of it like this.
Okay.
It's like, what if I don't want to?
No. Let's indulge him.
Oh, fine.
Come on.
I'm tired of indulging Jason.
He came from England.
Okay. You got me there. Go ahead.
All right. It's kind of like Final Fantasy.
I disagree.
Basically have the same overworld layout as Final Fantasy, including random encounters with monsters.
Except
monsters are tennis players, and they challenge you to a match in which you can play against them, and you go through a standard tennis match. Winning gives you gold. Gold lets you upgrade your equipment, and you can basically go on until you beat bosses, until you eventually get back the tennis courts for your king.
No!
Wow, that sounds really cool. If I were the world's biggest nerd.
If that game ever existed, because it doesn't.
It does. World Court Tennis, TurboGrafx-16.
No.
It's better than the wacky Worlds game. Another.
What? No, it's not!
Another Bailey non-game.
You shut your mouth.
No, you know, you should have just brought, hey guys, I'm bringing Microsoft Paint.
Microsoft Paint doesn't have a bunch of Sega characters to make it look good.
You can have
Toe Jam and Earl. Sonic makes an appearance. I mean, it's a pretty sweet game.
What do you mean Sonic makes an appearance? He's on the box.
Right.
Echo is on the box. That's not an appearance. That is a main starring character.
Well, no, he's not the main starring character. He's not. It's not a traditional style game, Hunter. Get over yourself. Chill out. Calm down a little bit.
No.
Alright.
Wait, Toe Jam and Earl's in it?
Yeah, and you can make him dance.
I love Toe Jam and Earl.
Well, there you go.
No one loves Toe Jam and Earl.
Whoa. Wait a second.
You just offended half of our audience.
Let's start over.
I think someone needs to take a trip to Funkatron next year instead of England.
What?
It's expensive. It's expensive.
You guys know Funkatron is the planet where they come from, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? I've never played it.
Of course you haven't.
Of course not.
Toe Jam and Earl wasn't released on the PC.
Or the Apple Bandai Scotty Pippen.
You mean the Sega Dreamcast?
Oh!
That's
so upsetting. That's enough. That's
all right. I like your F1 racing game, which is a remake of a 1984 game.
Exactly. But it's portable, so you can take it with you. You can't take the Famicom with you.
I like
funny story.
What?
The TurboGrafx-16. There was a handheld device that actually allowed you to take the full game with you because the game carts were the size of a credit card. So you could have this full in-color game back in the early 90s.
Only for $4.99.
Yes.
how gypped do you have to feel though when you spend $60 on a game and you get a credit card?
I would feel kind of weird about that.
I mean, come on. You should have picked Bonker. That's a great game.
Bonker, yes, it is a good game, much like World Court Tennis.
Oh, no,
definitely not Wacky World's Creativity.
Wacky Worlds is so fun. It's fun, guys.
It's a sticker game. It's not a game.
But the stickers are like alive. They do things. It's more than just stickers, man. It's like more like animated.
They're animated GIFs.
Yeah.
It's animated GIFs. The add-on for Microsoft Paint.
Who doesn't like animated GIFs? And stop comparing it to Microsoft Paint. It has pixel art. That's pre-rendered.
I would say it's closer to Tiny Toon Cartoon Workshop.
I would say it's closer to Mario Paint. If I had brought Mario Paint, would you guys be complaining? No, because that's a classic. And everyone forgets about Wacky Worlds, even though it might even be better.
I use the word literally again. I like that word.
You do. That's okay. It's a good word.
Hey, wait, before the showdown, I almost brought KidPix, which is a paint program. And Jason. I decided, no, it's not a game.
That Jason. Would have been awkward.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah? Thank you.
So I'm intrigued. Explain to me the stickers. I'm intrigued by stickers.
Okay. So there's these six planets, right? And they each have a theme. There's like an underwater one, a creepy haunted one, a medieval fantasy one, an outer space one. And whichever environment you go to, you can scroll back and forth. It's pretty big. There are books of stickers per world. Like, no matter which one you're on, you have six books of stickers to choose from. Some objects, it's just a picture. So, like, the outer space sticker book has, like, ship parts. And you can make these sci-fi-looking structures. But there's also characters. Like, the medieval sticker book has a wizard and a princess and a dragon. And you place them on the page, and they kind of sit there. Maybe they bob their heads or just do a little bit. But there's a magic finger, and when you poke them with the magic finger, they start doing stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like what?
Yeah, like
well,
what?
Well, it depends on the character.
Well, give me an example.
Yeah.
Like the dragon starts flying around.
Okay, so other than clicking these animated GIFs,
yeah?
Is there any gameplay?
Oh, totally. Yeah. There's a bomb finger. Or you can click stuff and blow it up.
So a delete button.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Wait a second. I don't know if you lost me or if I'm actually starting to figure out what this game is. Because I've heard of this game, but I've never played it.
I've played it.
Because
I've
you
had
can't
it.
Play it.
That's what it's I'm... Is it game. Even a game? Like, that's... I mean... In the general sense of a video game... Would this be considered a video game?
Yeah, it's definitely a video game.
Is there an objective?
To be creative, to have fun. Why is it always got to be about points? This is how wars get started. People
are
too competitive.
We're not talking points. About points.
Come
we're,
on.
I mean, there has to be a reason
with
that
creativity?
I plug the game into a console.
You don't
take a game like
creativity?
The Incredible Machine.
Or even F1 Race.
That's less of a game, I think.
Really?
You know what game has better F1 racing in it on Game Boy? Micro Machines.
That's great. Nobody brought Micro Machines to this week's Retro Showdown.
Well, I'm making a point. I can make a point with a game I didn't bring, Hunter.
That's great. No. It's still the best of the three. That I agree with.
No, Wacky Worlds is so much more fun.
I don't think it's a game, though. That's
not
where
a game.
I'm...
This is less of a game than the time you brought Monopoly.
No, this is less of a game than he brought You Don't Know Jack.
Oh, now, wait, whoa, wait a second. When did I become the non-games guy? Don't you guys remember when Jason was always the non-games guy? Remember that?
Yeah, apparently you're doing a better job at it.
He was bringing mods.
Jeez.
Which are more of a game than this.
So explain to me the Mega Mouse.
Right. Okay, you know how the Super Nintendo mouse had two buttons? The Mega Mouse, it has A, B, and C, just like the controller. Yeah. It's awesome. It even has a start button on the side of it.
But the controller is a six-button controller.
Well, yeah, but the originals were three-button.
So it's missing three buttons?
It's not missing three buttons, Hunter. The Genesis had two different controller setups. Not every game needs six buttons, and certainly Wacky Worlds doesn't.
Was this compatible with just the regular Sega Mouse, this game? With only two buttons?
Probably.
But you wouldn't be able to do some things, because you're missing a button.
No,
three of them, actually. You're missing three buttons.
It doesn't need the three buttons.
Well, with two buttons, then you'd be missing four.
That's true.
Math is hard. You guys are losing me.
This is a piece of crap.
God, this drives me nuts about Sega.
I had so much fun with Wacky Worlds, Jason. You're actually offending me on a personal level right now. I had so many hours of fun with this game. Can I give an example of how we made it a game?
Please.
Okay, so the fish, right? They swim, but not all of them are the same speed. So I would take the fish and I would press the pause button, which stops all animation, and I would put as many on the screen as I could with a limit. So I'd have like three sharks and a couple dolphins and a couple other fish, all frozen, like on the left side of the screen, right? Then I would unpause and it would be like a race to see which of them swam to the other side first. And you could, keep track of points and gamble on it and make it a whole betting thing.
If
you got
to
use your imagination.
If you start taking bets on what stickers move the quickest, then there is definitely no gameplay value in this game.
I mean, I wouldn't want to teach my kids gambling at that early of an age.
Yeah, that's just wrong. That's immoral.
I think you should teach your kids about gambling. You don't have to necessarily encourage them to gamble, but you got to teach them about stuff when they're young, man. You can't wait till it's too late.
You really want to stick by that argument?
Yep.
You got balls, Bailey. You got big balls.
I'm not saying it works for everything. I'm just
okay. As long as we find the medium, as long as we find the line, that's all I'm looking for.
Gambling, there it is.
Are there any other games you could use the Sega Mouse for? Because this is the first I've heard of the Genesis Mouse.
I know, isn't it great? Like, it's such a weird, strange peripheral. Not a lot of people know about it.
It's not great, but
it's not great.
You guys are jerks.
Well, I mean, think about it. It's when was this game released?
1994. Yeah.
And was this the first game that used the Mega Mouse?
I think so, because it was a pack-in with it.
Okay.
Here, I found some games you can use it for.
1994. Mario Paint was released in 1992.
Yeah, clearly Sega got the idea from Nintendo.
Imagine that. Another terrible idea that died with other companies, and Sega picks it up every time.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if all of the consoles two generations from now had a touchpad on their controller? Can I throw that out there?
No.
PS4's gonna have that.
You don't think that'd be funny?
No, I think that's an awful idea.
Well, I'm not saying it's a good or a bad idea. I'm just saying it'd be funny if everyone followed Nintendo on that.
They did.
Yeah, Sony already has.
Oh, you're right. Sony did with the PS4. Yeah.
And this will be the end of console gaming because of it. So thank you, Nintendo. I appreciate it.
All I can say is you guys can debate all you want as to whether Wacky Worlds is a game or not.
It's not. There's no debate.
But I would still rather play it than F1 Race.
F1 Race is a game that you can actually play for the first time ever on your Nintendo Game Boy, up to four people at once.
Who would want to huddle over four separate Game Boy units to play a generic from-behind racing game?
Are you serious?
You would have to be the largest dork in the world with three dork fiend friends.
Hey, have you met me and my friends?
No, but I'd love to.
Well, it's going to happen, and it's amazing.
Okay, did you guys play F1 Race 4 player? Did you ever actually do it?
We only got up to three. We couldn't find a fourth.
Wow, actually, I'm actually kind of impressed. Way to go.
Yeah, we got to tell me about it. So are we. It was me, my brother, and then one of his friends.
Huh, all right.
We had up to three. Because what was nice about it is the original Game Boy, when you purchased the Game Boy in its original packaging, it came with a connector cable.
Yep.
But it wasn't until F1 Race where they actually released the four-player adapter.
Wow. Well, Jason, the question is, did you ever get two of your friends to play World Court Tennis with you?
No, RPG. Because it's a tennis game.
Yeah, I got people to play. I played with my sister and my dad.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Real people, Jason. It was real people that exist in this world.
You can't have it. Well, okay, I'm impressed again. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's my dad's TurboGrafx.
Cool. All right.
Which is, I have to say, is the strangest looking console I've ever seen.
I know, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's so weird looking.
It is strange, yeah.
It's unique. It's not average.
Weird.
The next time I have to refer to Canada, I'm just going to call it the country that is the second track in F1 Race for Game Boy.
There you go, because it is.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to lie.
You race across the world. In World Court Tennis, you play on the same boring green court.
No, there's different land
colors.
Types.
Do they affect the ball
clay,
speed?
You can play on grass.
Yeah, duh. You ever played a tennis video game before, Hunter? There's always three different courts. Always.
Yeah, I've played
a thousand of them. You have not played 1,000 tennis games. You are lying.
You're lying.
You lied.
All right. Jason?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm lying, Bailey. Let's move on, okay? Let's move on. So... Okay, so explain to me the whole overworld thing. Like, why?
Because you're walking around to different towns.
But why, though? What's do you gain anything by walking?
Yeah, the random encounters give you gold, which you can upgrade your equipment. So you can have a let's say, a tennis racket that swings faster has more accurate power.
Okay. Oh, wait, right. Just let him talk. Let him talk.
I'm listening.
And eventually you're making your way through these things until you come to actual, there are these courts you can walk up to, like tennis courts, that have been taken over, and there's a boss there, so you play against the boss, you can beat him, and then you can move on through the land until you beat them all.
So this is kind of like Pinball Quest, but with tennis.
Yes, from what I've heard of Pinball Quest. Except it came out before Pinball Quest.
All right, well, we're not talking about when it came out, Jason. It's okay if your game matches the same template as another game. It's okay.
I know, I'm just saying it did it first.
Can I share a piece of retro gaming trivia for our listeners?
If it's just with our listeners.
It's relevant, I promise.
Okay.
Taito. Do you guys know Taito, the publisher?
Yeah.
Okay, they made Space Invaders. That's what they're famous for. They worked on a game for NES called Hit the Ice. It was going to be a hockey RPG. You were going to travel to different hockey rinks and play the local teams and gain experience and power up your players and gradually get, it was going to be a hockey RPG. They canceled it because sports RPG hybrids are insane.
Not as insane as a sticker book for $60.
I doubt we paid that much for it. That does sound pretty
insane. I hope
not. I'll have to ask my mom. Hey, Mom,
let us know.
How much did you pay for it? I could actually. She's downstairs. She's in town visiting.
We can wait.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll be right back.
All right.
Oh, wow. He was serious.
He's serious. He did it. Huh. What's your Steam name?
Will you let it go, Jason?
I will not.
What, are you going to give me some free games?
Yeah, I might.
No, you're going to give me crap games. I don't want them.
I don't have any right now. Free. I might have free ones. I have to look in my workshop. Yeah, what's your Steam name?
I wonder if I can get a copy of this, Hit the Ice.
Well, there's a video.
Yeah, I'm watching it, so obviously there's got to be a ROM somewhere.
Yeah.
$5 she doesn't know.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys.
That's all right.
Thanks for waiting. Yeah, she remembered. She said she was actually thinking about it earlier today because we were talking
about it. What? Why?
Well, no, you have to understand.
Just crossed your mind?
No, listen, we were literally like playing.
Remember that stupid sticker game I bought?
Guys, no, listen.
God, that was a waste of money.
Guys, you have to understand, me and my mom played video games together growing up, so part of our visit, we were actually talking about it earlier. Like, honestly, that's what happened.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
She says she paid $5 for it used.
Oh, okay.
That was a heck of a deal.
I think you owe your mom $5.
I enjoyed it. Screw you.
Huh.
So, Jason.
Yeah.
You said there's an evil tennis king?
Evil tennis king.
Is he like an evil king of the country and he just happens to love tennis? Or is tennis like the thing everyone does in the country? Is that like their utter culture, like the apex of human civilization in
that
universe?
You're sent on a quest by the good tennis king, but this evil tennis king from another kingdom has come and stolen their gold and their tennis courts.
Okay, when you're a tennis king, is that what makes you evil? Theft, like just stealing other people's rackets and stuff?
Yeah, in this case, entire courts.
Whoa, that's like a despicable. Madman. Whoa, wow, that's... Yeah, man. That's all I got. Whatever.
Yeah.
I can't believe Hunter is talking about how good he was at Rad Racer 2, and then he brings a from-behind racer to the showdown.
It's like those ones I bought from like Walmart for $10.
That suck.
Is that little piece of plastic?
Totally worth it.
The background just changed.
Oh yeah, the LCD games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much an LCD game.
Now come on, you can't play four players with that.
You can have three people stand around you.
I mean, maybe if you took turns. Maybe.
Maybe if one of you put stickers all over it and then hit it with a tennis racket.
Had a cool TIE Fighter LCD game.
Yeah?
What?
Yeah.
I had a cool basketball LCD game. That one was really impressive. It kept score and stuff. I always wondered how it actually did that.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, mine kept score on how many stuff you blew up. You know what F1 race is?
It's a what?
It's And I'm afraid I'm saying this a lot lately. It's very average.
Explicitly average. I mean, you guys can make fun of my game, but my game is unique. It's distinctive.
I'll
at
give
least.
You that.
Come
so
on.
So is mine.
No, it's not.
No, it's.
It's a tennis RPG.
It's like you put two games together and smashed them into a sandwich, and it's not a good tasting sandwich.
It's just really a rip-off of Hit the Ice.
I'm going to eat it.
Hit the Ice.
I am going to eat this sandwich, but I will not be happy while I eat it. If I have to pay for this sandwich, I want my money back.
Yeah, no one likes a crunchy peanut butter and meatball sandwich.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it actually kind of does. Yeah. Crap.
Mm. Damn it, Bailey.
Shucks.
Well, I mean, okay, F1 race. Let's be honest here. It's a clone of Red Racer. It is. But it's a clone of Red Racer that you can take with you on the go, and you can play up to 4 people at once. That's pretty cool.
It's more like FU race.
I don't know what that means.
I just wanted to make the joke, so
no.
You
well,
can think of it however you want.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. All right. They had a Rad Racer for Game Genie, didn't they?
For the Game Genie?
What are you trying
wait,
to say?
Wait a second. What? Wait a second.
They had a,
wait
they
for
had a Rad Racer for the Game
Whoa,
Genie,
I should
didn't
stop
they?
Doing drugs.
I am going to use that sentence from now on whenever I want to make fun of someone who doesn't understand retro gaming.
Wow.
Yeah, they had that on the Game Genie. Yeah, I played
I
that
saw
on the Genie.
Game Genie. I was like, Genesis Genie.
Oh,
Genesis.
Drugs should stop doing you, Jason. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Wow, you are on Ooh. Some wacky taffy.
Can I have some?
Yeah.
Right. Pass it through the internet. I like my game.
Either
I
way.
Think my game is fun. It's easy to pick up and play. The music's actually very interesting for people. Fun game.
Is that your final argument, or should I actually give you one this week?
No, I don't want it. That's my final argument.
Okay.
All right.
Jason, final argument. Why should any listener vote for your game?
Because you have a duty to stop the evil tennis gang.
I think it's a piece of duty.
Whoa. Stickers.
Ugh.
Stickers.
Well, my final argument is my game is super fun. You can make stuff, do stuff, and customize the music really intensively. It's actually weirdly impressive. And it has all your favorite Sega characters in it.
Because nobody would play it unless if it had Sega characters in it.
Oh, Sonic's on the cover. Buy this for me, Mom.
Oh, and Echo the Dolphin. Holy crap. And Tails.
That's Echo
Wacky
the Dolphin?
Worlds.
Yeah.
Probably. What other dolphin
would it
be? That's
just a generic dolphin.
There's no such thing as a generic dolphin when it comes to Sega, Jason.
It's Jim the Dolphin.
God.
Oh, wait. Can we go with
Jim
the
Dolphin?
Jim the Dolphin?
We'll see what Andrew says.
Okay, sounds good. Let's do some quick shout-outs. I don't have any this week because I'm a cold-hearted SOB. You can follow me on Twitter if you want. It's Nintendo_legend. I can use more followers. I like Twitter a lot. Hunter, how about you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. And I'd like to give a shout-out to Ben Landis, who finally decided that it was okay to follow me on Twitter.
Which is funny because I stopped shouting him out on the show. Maybe he noticed and he wants us to shout him out again.
Yeah. Thanks.
Dang.
Ben. Landis.
Jason?
I'll give a... Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lam. And I'll give a shout out to my sister. Because I think she actually listened to an episode.
Yeah, she mentioned
you. Surprised me.
What do you think? That was pretty cool.
I don't know, but she quoted that I'm the resident Canadian, which I only say on the podcast, so apparently she's listened to something.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was pretty funny.
That was.
Actually, I checked out her blog. She was doing a lamb family history.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Thank
it's
you.
Very interesting. Take that as you will.
I will. Tsar of Russia.
Cool. Well... I'll go ahead and shout out Ben Landis. He provided the intro and outro tracks we use, so... There you go, Ben. We mentioned you.
Is he following you?
Yeah. Well, me and him knew each other way before One More Castle ever started.
Oh, yeah. Is that matter? Yeah.
He's been following me for months.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right, so it's something else, then. It's got to be something else.
I could be. I don't know.
Maybe he's just got bad taste.
Oh, come on. Well, just a reminder, listeners, if you liked the interlude track, you can download that on the podcast page. And while you're at the podcast page, you can vote in the Retro Showdown poll and leave comments. Our last episode had a ton, and it was awesome, and I would love to see that continue. And please email us discussion questions. That's podcast@onemorecastle.com. Send them in. And remember, everyone, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!